All right, which brings us to the matter of the town of Port Royal.
Okay, the matter before you now is town of Port Royal requesting authorization to construct a 206-foot-long by 8-foot-wide community fishing pier with a 40-foot by 10-foot T-head and a dry hydrant on the pier to construct a 35-foot-long canoe kayak launch ramp varying in width from 10 foot to 16 foot with a 35-foot-long and a 30-foot-long riprap groin along each side of the ramp adjacent to town of Port Royal property off of King Street situated along the Rappahannock River in Caroline County. The project is protested by both adjoining property owners. This project is located in the town of Port Royal, which is in Caroline County, marked here by the circle. The town is a small incorporated town located along the southern bank of the Rappahannock River, and this dashed line is just the approximation of the town area, so it's quite small. The project site is located on the northeast end of King Street, where it terminates on the bank of the Rappahannock River, just south of the 301 Bridge. So this is the 301 Bridge here. This project is proposed within an existing town right-of-way. I would like to make a correction to the evaluation. Staff received information late yesterday evening that would correct the evaluation. I think the evaluation reads that this is a 66-foot VDOT right-of-way. This is not. It's a 66-foot town right-of-way, and the VDOT right-of-way within that is 60 feet wide. So I just want to make that note and correction. The shoreline conditions along the stretch of the shoreline consist of an intertidal mudflat with rocky substrate and woody debris and a fringing wetland vegetation in the upper reaches of the intertidal zone. This project is a proposed public access fishing pier that's going to have a canoe kayak soft launch ramp. The town received funding from various federal and state agencies and nonprofit entities for this project. The National Park Service is the primary funding agency for this project, as well as the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, Community Foundation of the Rappahannock River Region, the Bowman Family Foundation, National Parks Conservation Association, through their Freedom to Float campaign, and the Chesapeake Conservancy. In addition, the Friends of the Rappahannock River have also received funding to support this project. Friends of the Rappahannock River received funding from the Chesapeake Bay Restoration Fund. And to clarify, this is actually administered by the Division of Legislative Services with help and oversight from the Department of Conservation and Recreation. In addition, the Wetlands Project also gave money to the Friends of the Rappahannock River in support of this project. This project does require a bakeries permit from the agency, and because both property owners adjoining property owners object to this project is why the matter is before you today. This project does encroach over tidal wetlands, and Caroline County has not yet adopted the Wattle Wetlands Ordinance. However, this activity is exempt from a wetlands permit pursuant to Section 28.2.1302.10, exempts governmental activities on lands owned or leased by the Commonwealth or a political subdivision thereof. So we're just looking up at the aqueous impacts of this project. This is the overall project plan view. You can see that there is a 206-foot-long pier with a 40-foot by 10-foot T-head. On the downriver side of the pier is going to be a soft launch ramp, and there will be a groin on either side of the ramp and a dry hydrant along the upriver edge of the pier. This is taking a closer look at the project, and again, I want to make a note. In the original drawings, the dry hydrant was listed at 80 feet. That was revised on February 20th to be 150 feet, so that's a relatively new addition to the project. The pier is going to be 8 feet wide, and it's going to have railings along the sides and around the T-head. The 35-foot-long ramp, and it's going to widen in width from 10 feet in the upland to 16 feet at the channelward edge. And this is done for safety for canoers and kayakers coming in to access this ramp from the water. Having a pier here can be a little bit tricky. There will be two riprap groins along the upriver and downriver edges of the ramp. The upriver groin is going to be 30 feet long, and the downriver groin is 35 feet long, and the base width of these groins will be between 6 to 8 feet. There is also, I'd like to point out, proposed portable toilet in the upland for patrons of the pier and the kayak launch to use. I'm going to run through a series of cross-sections for this project. This is a cross-section that actually shows the ramp and the pier, and the ramp will encroach 13 feet channelward of the low water line, which is marked here in the blue. The green is the high water line. This is a profile of the ramp and the pier, looking at it from the shoreline, looking out towards the water. You can see the ramp here is going to be a soft launch. It's going to be polyethylene geocells that are going to be filled with small pea gravel. And then on either side, riprap groins. And the upriver groin is going to be directly underneath the proposed community pier. And then on the upriver side is the dry hydrant. These are details for the L head of the community fishing pier, which is going to be 40 feet by 10 feet. And it will allow handicap access. And finally, the cross section of the dry hydrant. And it's going to be composed of a 6-inch PVC pipe. And that will be used for emergency purposes only by the local fire department. As I mentioned previously, both adjoining property owners object to this project. Both Mrs. Cleopatra Coleman, who owns the upriver property, and Mr. and Mrs. Timothy Locklear, who own the downriver property, object to the project. Generally, their objections include mainly upland issues associated with a public access point as a neighbor. They have concerns about increase in public nuisances such as traffic, noise, and crime. They made reference to possible safety issues. They also, both protestants noted the town's fiscal ability to maintain a public pier and the cleanliness of the area. And they both had questions about sanitary facilities. The Locklear is specifically cited in their objection, both concerns with reductions in property value as well as property boundaries. And because this property is occurring somewhat on a VDOT right-of-way, VDOT actually did a survey of this parcel, and that's what you're seeing here before you. And again, I want to note that the VDOT right-of-way is 60 feet within the larger town right-of-way of 66 feet. The Locklears, in their objection letter, noted that they had they were concerned that the project might encroach onto their property. They actually cited a living shoreline component of the project that would encroach. However, there is no living shoreline proposed with this project. So this, just to go through some of the dimensions here, this downriver line is the property downriver property boundary between the Locklears and the town right-of-way. The total from the edge of the downriver edge of the pier to the property boundary is 28 feet. At the widest width, the ramp is 16 feet wide. If you assume the base width of this groin at the maximum value of 8 feet, that gives you 24 feet, and there's 28 feet from the edge of the pier. So that leaves a buffer of about 4 feet between the edge of this project and the downriver property. However, I do know the Locklears still have some concerns with possible placement, erroneous placement of riprap or another piece of the project on their property, and staff has assured them that a permit from BMRC for subaqueous impacts does not authorize any placement of material on their property or taking of their private property. Both the objectors noted that there are two other streets in the town, both Market Street and Frederick Street, that terminate at the river's edge. However, both of these streets are heavily vegetated and they have steep slopes. The access at King Street is currently onto the waterfront, and it's actually it's already used by people. It's just an undeveloped access point right now. The town has taken measures to ensure a clean and safe community pier. The town recently conducted a boundary line adjustment that incorporated the businesses bordering the town on Route 301 and Route 17. This subsequently increased the town's tax base and their annual revenue. Their annual revenue increased from approximately $18,000 a year to $75,000 a year. And with this additional money, the town has created a maintenance fund associated with this project to hire additional staff specifically responsible for maintaining and cleaning the pier area and installing and maintaining the portable bathroom facilities. In addition, the town has coordinated with the Caroline County Sheriff's Office, and the Caroline County Sheriff's Office has agreed to conduct increased surveillance, police surveillance of this area to deal with any possible crime issues. And finally, the town is going to install surveillance cameras to record activity at this public access point 24 hours a day. So I'm going to run through a series of ground shots that were taken at a January 13th site visit of this year. This is looking out from the upland, looking out towards the water. These two PVC stakes you see here are the channelward center lines of the groin. Far out in the water, you can see a PVC pipe. That's the channelward edge of the community pier. And this is looking at that same area, just looking downriver. And to note, the community pier is going to be right approximately in this location. This is looking upriver along the shoreline. That's the 301 bridge in the background. You can see there's some vegetation marsh here. And part of the reason the project sort of hugs the downriver side of the parcel is to avoid some of these vegetated wetland impacts. And this is another shot looking upland. Again, the pier is going to be right in front of us where this PVC marker is. I have a series, I have a couple of photos that were taken by the agent, Craig Polybinski. These were taken on February 20th, and this one in particular is looking towards the downriver property line. To note, this stake with the pink flag is the center line of the property, and this stake with the pink flag, you can see kind of in this bright area, is the upriver center line of the downriver groin. This was actually taken from the water, and this gives a good project vantage point from the water. This kayak is approximately 12 feet long, and it's located in the location for the proposed ramp. And this is to give the approximation of what it would be like to access the ramp from the water. This is about the average width of the ramp at that area. And this is photo taken just a little bit further out. You can see the channel word PVC pipe for the community pier. For state agency coordination, the Virginia Department of Transportation provided comments that they have worked with the town on this project and they have no issues or comments on the project as proposed. The Department of Historic Resources advised staff that they are coordinating with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on any potential historic resource impacts. The Department of Environmental Quality found the project acceptable. The Department of Game and Inland Fisheries recommended in-stream work. All in-stream work adhere to a time of year restriction from February 15th to June 30th of any year to reduce adverse impacts on anadromous fish. They also document the existence of bald eagle nests near the project site and recommend coordination with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service regarding possible impacts to bald eagles. They also included standard comments on erosion and sediment control measures. And finally, the U.S. Coast Guard offered no objection to the project, but they did note that if the applicant wishes to mark any portion of the project with an aid to navigation, they need to complete and submit a private aid to navigation application. Moving into summary and recommendations, the town's proposed community pier and kayak soft launch will provide a public access point for those wishing to recreate on the Rappahannock River. Staff feels that the proposed pier is a reasonable size to accommodate multiple users and that the canoe kayak launch is also a reasonable size for the intended use. So the protestants in this case cited two other streets as possible locations for the project. Both Market Street and Frederick Street are unimproved and would require extensive grading and bank clearing to create a suitable access point. Staff feels that this project will take advantage of a site that has existing but undeveloped access and will create a public amenity with an official access point to the Rappahannock River. Staff is sympathetic to the protestants' concerns over a public pier and the associated potential increases in the public nuisances and maintenance issues. The town of Fort Royal has implemented several measures to deal with these concerns by increasing police patrol to the area, installing surveillance cameras, and creating a fund to hire staff responsible for maintaining the public amenity. Staff did recommend during the APA process that the town consider ways to reduce the downriver encroachment of the project, such as reducing the channelward width of the canoe kayak ramp to alleviate the Locklear's concerns about encroachment onto their property. The project as proposed, however, does not encroach over the property line, and staff does not feel that modifications to the project design are necessary. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by the opposition to the project, and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2, 1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project as proposed. Given the location and limited scope of the project, staff does not feel a time of year restriction is necessary for the proposed construction, since any impact on the anadromous species should be minimal. And I believe the applicants are here and represented, as are the Locklears, and I'm happy to answer any questions about the project.
Any questions from the commission?
That's a nice change of pace. That's in the last few cases.
The applicant wish to come forward, represented. You've already been sworn in. Are you going to testify as well, ma'am?
Yes, I'm Nancy Long.
Okay. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in the testimony you provide today, so help you God? Thank you very much.
If I may submit another letter of support.
Could you state your name? Nancy Long.
Great. give your name on the record, too.
Yes, my name is Fred Paljudinsky from Bayshore Design. I am the project designer and I submitted a joint permit application. I have nothing further to add to Juliet's presentation. Thank you for her hard work presenting this case to you. Again, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have.
Any questions from the commission? Anything to add?
Just quickly, a couple of the concerns that were mentioned. Again, my name is Nancy Long, and I serve as mayor in the town of Port Royal. This area has always been open in the 30 years I've been there. We have pictures of it being used as an evacuation site during the Civil War, of a pier being there in the past with a steamship docked out. It historically is the proper place for a dock to be. Everyone is allowed to disagree, and neighbors disagree, and I have no problem with that. I do, however, I used to be a realtor at one time, married to one. I think improving this site is an increase to property value and an increase to safety. We have more problems with dead-end streets that are dark and unused than with streets that have money invested in them and lighting and cameras. So I just hope that those concerns will be taken to heart, that we are going to do whatever we need to do to try to make this work for everyone. I also think it's very important. There is no public landing, soft landing, for 8 miles either way up and down the river. Storms can come up on that river with very little warning, and I think it's also a good safety location for everyone that wants to enjoy the river, and certainly that's what we want to do. We want to make this less of an erosion problem, a more environmentally and visual treasure to the river, and we hope that we can get your support in accomplishing that. And I'll answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Plumlee.
I did have a couple of questions. The lighting, is that planned to be upland lighting or out on the pier or for navigation, or what was the proposal?
There's a light down the corner, and then we haven't finished researching what we're going to do on the pier, but we were thinking probably some solar lighting that would just mark the outline of the pier and give enough lighting for cameras to work. And we have an appointment with we're going to be setting up an appointment with the Sheriff's Department to get their advice on security cameras. But there are several poles, as you can see, up and down King Street on this picture where security cameras can be mounted.
And are people already accessing the water at this point?
Yes, with much difficulty.
Right.
There's a fisherman right there getting ready to cast the line as I was out there.
And generally they park right up near the end of the street and like to, you know, sit there with their chairs and things. We will hopefully have some, we plan to have handicap parking accessible down there, but we are going to have everybody else unload and go back up the hill and park so that they're not right by the water edge.
That was actually my question, whether or not there was adequate parking.
We have an agreement with, as an outreach, the church up at the top of the hill is going to allow us to use their parking area.
Ms. Erskine.
Is the town responding to specific demands heard from residents that they wish to have access, or how did the project come about? Is it response to, you know, some specific requests from town residents?
It came about in talking because of the erosion problems and beautification and wanting to get improve our town. We're going to be growing. The boundary line adjustment is scheduled to be signed to be activated on July the 1st, so we want to have some new projects going. Caroline County also has no public access in all of Caroline County to the Rappahannock River. This is their one and only spot that they have a chance to do that with. So this helps the whole county and benefits the whole county by giving them a public access. It will only be for non-motorized soft launch. If anyone wants to launch a bigger boat, there are paid points where they can do motorized boats within an easy travel distance also. but this will give the county as a whole and the town an access to the river.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Is there anyone else in the audience who wishes to speak in favor of this proposal? Is there anybody who wishes to speak against this proposal? Anybody in opposition? Yes, please come forward. Do you solemnly swear the truth, the testimony you will provide here today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so if you got?
I do.
Please state your name for the record.
Tim Locklear.
Is Tamika Locklear?
We are property owners of to the south of the proposed project. I actually own 807 Water Street, 813 Water Street, and the Cannery Lot, which is immediately adjacent and on the waterfront. Our objections to the proposed project include, but are not limited to, the following. My wife is a real estate agent and a real estate broker. We feel that the project will negatively affect our property's value. The proposed launch is in close proximity to our property line, and we are concerned of how a 206-foot-long public pier will impede on our riparian rights. To our knowledge, no licensed and insured engineer has signed off on the project. We question the pier and launch are properly designed and constructed for river conditions at this site. In my experience with local government projects of this scope, generally require an engineer's involvement and or review. I work for Hanover County Public Utilities, and if we put up a pre-engineered building, an engineer's got to sign off on it. So we don't do anything the engineer doesn't sign off on. There's been confusion and dispute over the VDOT versus town right-of-way, which one is to be used for this project. We were informed that the pier and soft launch were to be built within the parameters of the VDOT 60-foot right-of-way. However, it appears that Bayshore Design is based on a 66-foot right-of-way, which is a town's right-of-way, as indicated by Bayshore's design plans. VDOT rendering and property stakes of 66-foot right-of-way is only 6 inches from our property line, as indicated by VDOT. A 66-foot-wide project will impede access to our riverfront line. And initially, the town wasn't even going to do a survey. We asked that they do a survey. Frankly, they wouldn't have had the funds to do it. But VDOT, they got VDOT to do the survey, which I'm not sure it was really an official survey. We have a rendering from VDOT. I don't think they really wanted to issue a plat for the work that they did, but we appreciate the work that VDOT did. Currently, King Street allows fishing and non-motorized boat launching without spending additional funds. The proposed project will not constitute a new public access or use. The town of Port Royal does own two other right-of-ways to the Rappahannock River, as was spoken about before, consisting of Market and Frederick Streets. The town has not maintained these right-of-ways. Market Street to the river is currently being used as a yard waste dump site for a neighbor, and Frederick Street to the river has been planted with a stand of bamboo. We believe that opening up these right-of-ways back to the public would constitute new public use and access to the river. The plan calls for the permanent use of a portable toilet for on-site sanitation, the location of which will be within 6 foot of our property line and within 57 feet uphill of our house at 813 Water Street and in direct view of its dining room and kitchen. This house is the residence of my 80-year-old in-laws. It will also be in close proximity of the Rappahannock River on a slope in an area that has flooded in the past. The site may lead to possible contamination of the Rappahannock River. The site of the proposed King Street project is an ongoing public nuisance with continuing issues of noise, loitering, drinking in public, trespassing on our private property. The town, in an email dated February 12, 2014, admits the knowledge of activities like loud noise, partying, drinking, and other nuisance behaviors have occurred at the foot of King Street for many years, and the town, with very limited resources, has not adequately been able to control them. Though the town has mentioned the future possible revenue from a proposed boundary line adjustment. We will take care of the funding maintenance of the pier launch. We have concerns. The boundary line adjustment is not complete. I think July 1st, they said. And there are rumors of property owners disputing the annexation process because, as far as I know, it was not an annexation but an agreement between the County of Caroline and Port Royal. And some people don't believe that was a proper way of doing that. If the boundary line adjustment is not successful, then a pier launch will be created and the town will not have the proper funding in place to maintain the grounds and routine pumping of the portable toilet. And we had asked that possibly, and we don't want to encroach on Cleopatra Coleman, but we had asked maybe that the project could be shifted over slightly. And we were told originally that it could not be done due to the vegetation there to the north of the project. But, of course, now they say that it's exempt from that, it being a government project. We do ask that if the public pier launch is approved, we would request that it is closed at night. And Hop Yard Landing upriver of the project, I believe it's closed at night. I'm not sure about that one. But Little Falls and Stafford, that's a gated one, and it's closed at night. And downriver in King George County, Wilmont Land, and there's no overnight parking allowed. And the other ones don't, Wilmont and Hop Yard, they don't have a port-a-john in the vicinity of the pier and fishing land and boat land.
And if I may, I'd like to just clarify. We do have pictures. We didn't do a PowerPoint presentation because we didn't know it was compatible with your system here. But we do have pictures showing where the stake from VDOT is about 6 inches away from the property line, where that picture that was shown earlier of that survey rendering is not actually a real survey or plat, you know, official, but it looks like, and even on the Bayshore design, looks like the property line and the fence, the chain link fence, are actually overlapping, identical, and they're not. It's about 6-inch difference. So instead of being a 4-inch offset from the riprap at the widest point to the property line, it's really more like 3.5 feet. And the erroneous piece that we shared with Juliet was, you know, I've seen where houses are built in large neighborhoods offset on property lines, and it affects every house down. Accidents happen. These are large rocks, pillars going in. You can't monitor every inch of a project. And this project is within 3.5 feet of private residence. And that land, the piece of land that goes out on the cannery lot, actually goes out into the water. So this launch is opening up this way. People are going to park, hang out on private land until they go in, go out. We just want to reduce the issues of the problems that they've experienced with this property for years. Trespassing, loitering, drug paraphernalia found. We have a picture when we did the right-of-way picture. You can see a beer can, I mean, open fires. It's just an ongoing problem. And the concern, we know that the boundary adjustment's in the works, and we acknowledge that, but one of the things we felt like this project, the cart was put before the horse. No survey was initiated, no proper process or due process. I'm sure there's statute about due process about projects like this. We are having to react to letters that were sent to us to the wrong address days before a meeting, or one day before a meeting, or a week before a response deadline, and we tried to accommodate those hurdles. However, we feel that the town, being a civic situation, should have a duty to its residents to handle things with due process and to do it in a fashion that all matters are concerned, that concerned property owners are addressed and addressed formally. We feel that they've, you know, reacted to our concerns, but everything is just being verbalized. We'd like for things to be structured in writing, documented, and on record.
Mrs. Pumley.
Mrs. Locklear, the current proposed area for the kayak soft launch, is what it's being called, that is that what you're saying is coming up within 3 feet of your property line or your mother-in-law's property line?
Basically, the launch has riprap off to the right. And the launch itself at the widest point is 16 feet wide. And then that riprap can be between 6 to 8 feet wide that supports it. In the original plans that we received at Christmas, it mentioned a living shoreline. Or I apologize, not at Christmas, but it was in September. It mentioned a living shoreline. We proposed this is an eminent domain situation because that eminent shoreline was now encroaching on the other side as that original project, which it has since been amended. But, yes, it's the launch. The pier is dead center of the road, but the launch juts out.
Right. Let me ask you this follow-up question. If the launch were to be placed on the other side of the pier, is that going to have a similar impact to the neighbor on the other side?
If the pier stays dead center of the road, it would. Now, if the pier is adjusted to the left, which, as my husband said, we do not want to create an encroachment on Mr. Coleman, but just creating more of a buffer. And that's why the VDOT right-of-way issue was brought up, because it was mentioned to us in the beginning that the scope of this project would be only within the VDOT right-of-way. But now, in the rendering and the plan, no mention or delineation of a VDOT right-of-way is mentioned. It's based on the scope of the property line. So to make sure there's no possible through errors or omissions
right.
and encroachment, to just bump it over a couple feet, not to create an encroachment on Mrs. Coleman, but to still give a buffer to help protect repairing rights, private owners' rights, because with this being part of a park system, we don't know what the future will bring.
And when you spoke to the locality, the only response was that if we move it northward, right, I guess it's right. to the north, that we're going to be impacting vegetated wetlands. That was their concern at the time? Or they thought they'd be prohibited from impacting those?
Yes, they sure thought it was a piece that would be prohibited. But Juliet did correct them on the first meeting, and we were there with VDOT, in terms of Rappahannock and everything, that since this property is owned by the government, that they are exempt.
Right.
So that is an option, if they so choose to do.
Right.
And we had also asked Bayshore a possibility of narrowing the soft launch, and they would not do that.
Due to safety.
Yeah, but he did say for a safety reason.
Right.
Mr. Erskine.
I don't know. I appreciate your concerns. I don't know if this question is directed necessarily at you all, but I did notice in the write-up that the National Park Service had some concerns, I guess, about what you all alluded to with project management and timeliness of notifications and things. Can you address that?
With the point of contact, the National Park Service, over the phone, because during my review of this, I was getting information that when I solicited comments from the Department of Historic Resources, I got information from them saying that the town had skipped some steps and that something wasn't complete. So I followed up with the Park Service, and what the Park Service explained was this has to do with the review of historic resources. And that is typically covered through the federal permit, through the Army Corps of Engineers. So we don't really get involved in that review process. That is something that's handled by the feds. What the National Park Service did explain was that when they sat down with the town and approved the funding for this project, that there was a set of steps that the town was supposed to follow in a certain order, and part of that was having this historical review done prior to submitting any permit applications. And I don't really know why, but the permit application was submitted prior to the historical resource coordination being done with Army Corps of Engineers. So they kind of skipped that step, and that sort of upset the Park Service because it wasn't following the outlined steps that they had recommended. And then the Park Service said, kind of in addition to that, they had heard that there were objections to the project, and they weren't really sure what the nature of the objections were, how the town was addressing them. And it seemed to me from my conversation that the point of contact from the Park Service was a little removed from that component of the project, and I did my best to explain it. And they did leave with saying that although this has been kind of a they haven't followed the, you know, the outlying path, that they still do support the project and they still will provide the funding for the project.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Quinlan.
I have a question for the town representative. Is there a, other than the vegetated wetlands, which from the photographs I've seen are not of high quality, other than that, is there an objection to moving this 10 feet further north, the alignment of the center pier? Is there something with the engineering of this or impacts on the activity that, you can explain would be caused by moving this further north?
I can answer that. I think if you came back in, say, early summer, this would look completely different than what you see in the photographs now. But this is a pretty healthy strand of vegetative wetlands. I'd say from the northwest boundary line extending to the pier to 30 feet. We have the pier actually pretty much centered right in the 66-foot town right-of-way. And we chose this location for the soft launch, you know, downriver from it, because you can see from the photographs, it's eroding. You know, from the asphalt down to the, I'll call it the beach line, is about a foot and a half. It's eroding. There's gaping baskets under that to protect that. So we felt that this was the ideal location for the soft launch, not only to provide the access, but to also protect the shoreline. It's a shoreline erosion control structure. You can see, I'm not sure if VDOT put this in here, there's Jersey barriers here to protect this section of the shoreline, the fringe marsh here. And that's the design of the groin would do the same thing besides retain the base of the soft launch. So in looking at this, it just seemed to make the most sense that we get the most benefit by siting the soft launch in an area that was already unvegetated and is eroding.
So you see this as an erosion control method at this, that
part?
On that side of the pier, you're saying that's an erosion control effort that you're putting in place.
Right.
Are we here to consider the erosion, the actual erosion control, you know, construction, or are we here really just to hear the impacts to the subaqueous from the piering? I mean, and the boat launch. I mean, that's, we're not, I think we've already said we don't have the jurisdiction over the shoreline protection component. Is that?
That's, in a sense, that's correct from the standpoint of the Wetlands Act. That is a public project on public property, so it's authorized by statute. Portions of the ramp and the riprap groins on either side extend a bit channelward of low water, so we have to consider that aspect of the project,
okay,
as well as the pier.
Okay.
Mr. Erskine.
I would ask the town representative what the concern is over the width of that soft launch at its widest point is 16 feet, and there was a mention of a safety concern, but I'm not sure if it's a soft launch and it's for kayaks and canoes that 16 feet is really necessary.
If I may answer that, and that was the rationale behind some of these pictures I took last week. You know, basically, you're not going to have a full spectrum to try to land a kayak on this launch, because this is going to be the end of the fishing pier where that PVC pipe is located right there. And that 12-foot kayak, that represents probably about the average width, because the landward extent of the launch is only 10 feet wide. The opening at the end is 16 feet. So I only have downriver side to gain access to that launch. Now, this is a fairly calm day, but there's going to be some days where the wind's going to be ripping. Tide's going to be running hard, and I only have that angle to approach that landing. So I felt to make the landing as wide as I possibly could and make it safer, you know, to approach and make it landing.
Well, and I mean, in that sense, it would be more practical to have it on the other side where it's not exposed. However you run into the wetlands being on the other side of the pier. if you're looking at exposure coming in like that, of course that's 500 feet offshore or something, but you know, I just question whether or not for soft launch stuff, 16 feet at the width, or even 10 feet, you know, on the inland part is really necessary.
You still have the exposure on both sides. And generally I find, you know, the tide is running, ebbing out harder than it is flooding back in. So that would lead me to, you know, be afraid or get too close to the pier or be pushing me towards the pier. So I felt more comfortable siding the launch on the downriver side so I can paddle up against the current instead of being fighting, you know, coming into the pier. And generally, most of the launches, even boat ramps, we usually site them on a downriver side, especially in the upper stretch of the Rappahannock River. We usually keep them on the downriver side for that reason.
Is there anyone else here who wishes to testify against this proposal? Hearing none, the matter is before the commission.
My preference would be to assist the Locklears by asking that this be moved 10 feet northward. I'm talking about the point of the pier as you go out. I understand it's going to impact some vegetated wetlands, but I think, you know, if you move the project down that direction, you could have vegetated wetlands develop closer to the Locklears property, and you're going to have less interference on their property rights. You're going to have a fair distance, approximate distance from the opposing side, and so it's about as fair a resolution as I could think of. You're going to impact some, I mean, but the fairly small number of square feet of vegetated wetlands that you're impacting by moving the project over and accommodating these folks and having less of a direct impact on their property rights.
I would request a reduction in that 10 feet simply for balance. I have no problem with moving it over if Craig says it's safe, because Craig's safety has got to be our main issue, with moving it over a small distance, 3 feet, 4 feet. But we also have to consider I've got another property owner on the other side, and I don't want to be unfair there. Also, I'm thinking visual and handicap accessible. You want things somewhat easily accessed, and I think 10 feet shift is going to, the way this road is, it's going to put the pier less out of sight, because it sort of goes, the road goes, curves in a little bit, as you can see. So perhaps a smaller footage shift would still give the Locklears a little bit more peace of mind. I think at one time we were down there talking about moving it a couple of feet, and they thought that would help. But I'm going to leave that up to Craig, because he's the expert, and so I have to go with his opinion. I am not a water person, so I can't do that, but I can realize that I have to speak for all the citizens in town, and I think a 10-foot shift would put us at, what, 20 feet toward there and 38 feet away from the other side, so that's not.
And I would push the T-head about 4 feet from this imaginary line.
I think we would be creating the problem on the other side, but I have no problem with moving it over a couple of feet if Craig says it won't get us in trouble with the wildlife, with the environment.
Well, I'm actually trying to shift it to be more equal, because right now the majority of the project rests closest to the Locklears property, so I'm adjusting it so it sits more, you know, in the middle and has more of an equal impact to the two property owners adjacent to the public access. So I'm trying to keep everybody's rights in mind and, you know, support the project.
I think we can move it over and maintain a 10-foot separation off this property line. We are going to impact some vegetated wetlands, and hopefully, we can offset that loss, you know, by adding sand fill in between this groin and the existing vegetation here. That would still keep us 10 feet off of this property line extended.
So how much further are you suggesting?
If you use 4 feet, I can use 6 feet. I can slide over 6 feet. And maintain a 10-foot separation from the nearest groin, edge of the groin, to the Locklear property line.
Mr. Plumley?
I'm perfectly agreeable to that if everyone else feels that. AJ's got
Mr.
a...
Mr. Erskine.
Well, and I agree with that. I look at it as the T-head pier is 206 feet offshore. So
right.
For the other adjacent property owner, it's 200 feet offshore. The Lockleers are looking at something that's, you know, right up to their property line at 4 feet. And I do think we need to take that into consideration. It seems to be 30 feet on one side with one adjacent property owner and 4 feet, you know, on the other side by the time you measure in the groin that comes out to protect that soft launch. So moving over 6 feet, I'd certainly be in support of that. I recognize the importance of the project and providing community access. to the river, but I do think it's a little bit tight, 4 feet.
So should we just cut it in half and go between 10 and 6 and call it 8 feet over, move the project over? I mean, give them a couple of extra feet here because, you know, these things tend to sprawl out once they are actually on the ground, and 10 feet isn't much of an adjustment, but I could
Craig, I would ask you, is that something that is, you know, from an engineering standpoint, is this still reasonable?
I'm just trying to split the difference. I know the pier is pretty much in the center, and if I go 10 feet, make it 10 feet offset from the downriver property line, that pier T platform out at the end is going to be about the same off of the imaginary line extended in the water. I know that's not a legal boundary line. I'm just thinking of repairing by it's down the road.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to make it even. We still need to contend with the Corps of Engineers as far as the wetlands impacts, and like I said, hopefully we can mitigate for that. So obviously, the further we slide over, the more impacts we're going to have.
I'm agreeable to whatever y'all want to do.
That's Erskine.
I'd make a motion to approve the project, shifting the design 8 feet northward, I guess it is.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. The motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.